From 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 7, hear the word of God. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He was revealed to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When does Jesus become real? I think that is the question of Eastertide. As TJ read it to you, the risen Lord pops up out of nowhere, and the response from the disciples is that they are startled and terrified. They think He is a ghost. When does Jesus become real? Jesus says, look at My hands, My feet, touch, see, real flesh, real blood. But then Luke says, while in their joy, they were disbelieving and wondering. That doesn't make any sense. How can you have resurrection joy when you're in a state of disbelief? You can't be joyful and disbelieving at the same time. You can't fake joy. Daddy, I'm getting married. Well, I'm happy for you. Do you mean that, Daddy? Yes, I most certainly do. I wish you and Brian, it is Brian, right? Yes, Daddy, it's Brian. Just making sure we're still on Brian. They seem to switch up so quickly. Daddy, now I wish you both all the happiness. I can't wait to call him son. He's such a fine young man, certainly employable, I would think. Well, you get the point. You can't mix joy and disbelief together. If you try, joy turns jaundice. When does Jesus become real? I have no trouble believing in Jesus being real before the resurrection. I can believe that He was turned over to the authorities. That seems real. After all, He was a real threat. Someone who stood up for the love of enemy. You can't have a charismatic guy running around and telling people, love your enemy. If anything can unite a country, it's having a common enemy. You can't have anybody going against that. Love your enemy. That's ridiculous. I can believe that He was turned over to the authorities. I can believe His death. The Gospels all do a very good job of making sure we know He was crucified. Blood, spear, broken, breathed its last. The details will make a whole chapter in the Gospels. Maybe you saw that Mel Gibson movie a long time ago now, The Passion of Christ. They say that movie really portrayed the death of Jesus. I didn't see it. I have no trouble believing in the death of Jesus. My biggest reason was I don't think I could go to the movie. I couldn't reconcile the death of Jesus to the aroma of buttered popcorn. I just couldn't do it. That's just me. There's nothing more real than death. And yet death is unreal. I remember the woman who came into my office many, many years ago now. I was so young. Hard to believe I was young, isn't it? Her mother had died. And she came in and she sat down and she said, "It just occurred to me that one day I'm going to die. I don't think I ever knew that of myself, that I'm going to die." And I was dumbfounded. I remember thinking to myself, "What do you mean you don't know you're going to die? People die, pets die, the grass withers, the flower fades, everything dies. You couldn't put that together, that you're going to die? Death is real." But now that I'm older, I've lived a lifetime of people who have said, "I can't believe he's gone. I can't believe she's gone. Death is so unreal." I remember the man who said, "For the first time this morning, I went to the cupboard and I only pulled down one coffee cup. It's been 2 months since her death, and every morning since her death, I have pulled down two cups of coffee, put one back. I've made her coffee every day since we've been married, through joy and sorrow, two cups. Sickness and health, two cups. Plenty and want, two cups. Till death do us part, and even then, two cups." Death is hard to believe. Death can be hard to get our heads around. If that is true, how much more difficult is it, the resurrection? Lord knows it's difficult. Jesus keeps having to prove himself. Last week we were in John's gospel. Jesus had to show his wounds to his disciples. Here. And then to Thomas, put your finger in my hands, Thomas, put your hand in my side, Thomas. I'm alive. And then the next moment in John's gospel, they're out fishing. Come on, fellas, believe. Matthew's gospel has the risen Lord on a mountaintop. "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore into all the nations, teaching and baptizing." All authority. All authority. And Matthew says his disciples worshiped and they doubted. How can you have all authority when you got a bunch of people closest to you doubting? Luke, the Gospel of Luke, you heard it today. The disciples joyfully doubting. Jesus says to them, "Look, I'm real. I'm not a ghost. I'm hungry. Have you got anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he ate it in their presence. Does knowing that the risen Lord have a digestive system, does that help make him real? Do you understand the challenge? God went to the trouble of sending his beloved son, his only son, that whoever should believe in him. Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried, but on the third day, everyone had trouble believing. And here's the thing. Everyone has trouble believing. Everyone has trouble believing. And I'm thinking, maybe in a generation or two, the whole world's going to say, "I don't believe this stuff." Last weekend, I saw Ben Kane. You may remember he was an associate pastor here. He came back for a wedding, and when he does, he makes himself feel at home in my office. He gets ready for the wedding there in my office. He never brings his own alb. He always wears mine, stretches it out in places. Anyway, we got talking about the church. And he said, "Do you know how many graduates from all the Presbyterian seminaries are ready to receive a call in the church?" And I said, "No." And he said, 12. 12. I don't know where he got that information. 12? Maybe from one seminary I could understand. 12? But from all the Presbyterian seminaries, 12? I would have a hard time believing twice that number. 24? Seriously? I would have a hard time with tripling that. 36? Seriously? Only 36? I don't know whether to believe him or not. 12. But the writing's on the wall. And what I know is the story being told to our children and our children's children is that the resurrection is unreal. And if the resurrection is unreal, then the whole thing falls apart, doesn't it? If God doesn't raise Jesus from the dead, then grace, the word grace, just evaporates. It's just so anemic. It's no longer the most powerful, most amazing thing. It's just there with all the other words. If Jesus emptying himself for the sake of the world isn't something to be celebrated on heaven and earth, then what is it? He just emptied himself, he's just dead. That's what happens when you empty yourself. You just die. You die empty. You don't want that, do you? So what do? Then do you replace it with what was before? An eye for an eye? Now, I can believe that. Can't you believe that? No trouble believing that. Israelis retaliated and blew up an Iranian embassy. Iran retaliated with hundreds of drones just yesterday. The Israeli cabinet is meeting right now to discuss how to retaliate. And then in Iran, there'd be a bunker full of boys trying to figure out how to retaliate. When I was in England on the 100th anniversary of World War I, my wife and I visited the Tower of London, and they had poppies, red poppies, spilling out of the Tower of London, poppies filling up the moat around the Tower of London, just a sea of red poppies, thousands of poppies. In fact, 888,246 poppies, representing the British who died in World War I, just the British. A poppy, one poppy, symbolized one death, or maybe one life. Someone who loved to pet a dog, someone who enjoyed coming home, someone who loved a sunrise, the taste of beer, someone who had a friend or two. It's just so unreal. An eye for an eye. Just making the undertakers wealthy. Don't you want to believe in something good? Even if you can't believe it. We do it all the time. You believe in something good, even when you don't believe it. Oh, you probably have a list of it. You know, I fell on the sidewalk the other day. I skinned my knee. It hurt. You know what I wanted? I wanted my mom to come and kiss my knee. You see, my mom has in her lips, she had in her lips some, I think it's a chemical or something, something in her saliva. I don't know what it was. Just so real. Don't you want to believe in something good? Even if you can't believe it. I think that's why I like First John's letters. Do you know it's the easiest Greek in the New Testament? I graduated seminary reading Greek. I could read Greek. That's not true. I could read First John. That's all. It's simple. It's like Dick Loves Spot. See Spot Run. That's what it is. It's simple. See what love God has for us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. You're loved by God. You're loved by God. Be the love of God. Don't fear. You are loved by God. Be the love of God. Jesus is real, and you know that. The resurrection is real, and you know that. But if you don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus, can I ask you to do something? Fake it. You don't have to tell a soul you don't believe in it. Just fake it. Go for an Academy Award for the best actor in a reality series, but work on it, because God can handle it from there. Just pretend that there's a force in the universe that loves you, that will go to hell for you. Just pretend. Pretend that mercy is the most powerful thing. Pretend to love your enemy. Bring your enemy a casserole. Look your enemy eye to eye. Say, here's a casserole. You can leave and you can pray to God. I hope he chokes on it. But just bring him the casserole. Because this is how the church began. It didn't begin with 12 people going, oh, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. They went, I don't know if I believe this. But they went out into the world. They just went out and they just decided, I'm going to try this resurrected love. And lo and behold, when they tried the resurrected love, people believed it. You couldn't convince them otherwise. They gave their life for one another. And the love just took over. Be the love, be the love, be the love. For all creation's sake, be the love. And God will take care of believing in the resurrection. Really, God is big enough to take care of the resurrection. Big enough to take care of our unbelief. Really. Really.